When you're purchasing a condo, it's a reinforced concrete building, so it's obviously well built. But once they get beyond 30, 35 years of age, maintenance and renovation expenses start escalating,
Sure,
which is
right.
when your building fees will start rising more rapidly. So if you buy something and you're paying, I don't know, say 15,000 or 20,000 yen a month in condo fees, there's a good chance of that doubling within the 10 years after you purchase, if you buy it over 30 or definitely over 35. So to stay within your budget and still satisfy that age requirement, so that we're making sure your building fees are not going out of control too soon, you might have to compromise and stay close enough to center where you're feeling comfortable, then you might have to compromise on the size a little bit. But we could get lucky. We'll see how it goes.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so just a quick heads up and some housekeeping before we get into today's episode. Firstly, I know you're all chomping at the bits. We are to the downloads page with all of the last summit's video presentations and slide decks and photos and highlight reels is almost ready. Bear with us another week or so. As of the recording of this episode, we're just entering Golden Week, one of the longest holidays of the year here in Japan. So everything's a bit delayed, but we promise to have it all ready for you as soon as humanly possible. Watch this space, will not take much longer. Also, one of the video presentations you'll be able to see on the downloads page is a live demo that we did of our exciting new product, the Japan Investment Real Estate Insight Studio. If you'll recall, we've mentioned here before that it's a pocket version of me, that is to say, professional investment, property deal analysis, an AI tool that's been trained by me and is based on my 15 years of experience doing exactly that on behalf of our clients and for a fraction of the price that it'll actually cost you to retain my good services in person. So the live demo from the summit will be coming your way soon, as mentioned. But meanwhile, feel free to hop over to jre-invest-eval.com. That's JRE for Japan Real Estate hyphen invest hyphen eval or for evaluation.com. Check out the sample reports that are available on the websites, then register for free and have a play with the system yourself. Find any Japanese property listing that is actually tenanted. The system can only analyze tenanted properties at the moment, although we will soon be releasing an update that will also be able to handle vacant listings and project assumed rental income figures, and maybe even short-term stay Airbnb properties. Again, watch this space for more exciting updates. But it's already super useful as it is in its current state. So if you're the type of person who's been on the fence, not quite ready to pull the trigger or pay our consulting fees just yet, but you have been browsing Japanese property websites, checking out investment property listings, and wondering how attractive they really are, this tool will give you a cheap, super insightful, and thorough analysis of these listings. It'll break down the real numbers for you. So cash flow yields, return on investment, purchase and running costs. It'll do a risk analysis and an actual investment grade for you to compare.
And again, you can give it a spin for free. So hop over to jreinvesteval.com, jre-invest-eval.com, and try it yourself. And that's actually a really good segue to today's episode, which is a call that I've had recently with a couple based in Hawaii, both of Japanese descent. And we also had a short chat about their residency and visa options as such. And while they're not looking for a tenanted investment property, they definitely do require some consulting and analysis, which is exactly what we've done on this call. So they're in the market for a holiday home at a budget of up to about 20 million Japanese yen, or about 120 to 25,000 US dollars. And they're focused on larger or medium-sized cities mostly. So Fukuoka, Sapporo, Yokohama, Kyoto, Osaka, and Nara in their case. So we look at what their budget would potentially get them in these locations, how remote management would work, what life is actually like in all of these different cities, with a particular deep dive on Fukuoka and the areas around it. We talk about how old the property should be, how we conduct due diligence on condo units specifically, what the purchase costs are and what they actually consist of, how to find listings, how to work with Japanese agents, how remote viewings and offers to purchase work, how to remit funds into Japan, and of course how we can assist and what their next steps should be if they want to get started, which they have since this call was recorded. So enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Okay, so before we dig into the map and the listings and so forth, maybe give me a bit of a background. You said about 20 million yen and you're focused around Fukuoka City, but just give me a bit more of your personal background. How often, what type of property? You've mentioned condos, what are you going to be using it for, and sure. So forth.
So we're originally from Hawaii, but have been living in San Francisco for the last 30 years or so. We're both of Japanese descent, enjoy going to Japan, and really are looking for this property just as a retirement opportunity for us. We had a couple friends actually who recently have bought places in Japan, in Hokkaido and just outside of Tokyo, Yokohama. Mm-hmm. And so hearing them go through their processes, we were like, well, maybe it's not so far afield for us to maybe also explore.
Right.
So truth be told, in complete transparency, we also reached out to someone in Hokkaido, mm-hmm. because that's where our friend who was like really encouraging was just like, you can talk to this guy up there.
The big difference in the climates there between Hokkaido and Fukuoka.
Yes. And so that's kind of why we were just looking at where, because, I mean, frankly, Tokyo and Kyoto for us would have been great, but there's just no way, I don't think, that we can afford that. And so outside of that, it was Hokkaido and Fukuoka. Kyushu has a lot more of, a lot more of the people from Hawaii immigrated from Kyushu area, Kumamoto and whatnot. My family's from Kumamoto originally. We don't have any connections with them still, but anyway, was just interested in looking. And at first, you know, you hear so many things about IKEA and all of that, but we are not DIYers and we're not going to be fixing up or taking care of that. And I think we were mainly thinking the condo would give us, you know, more flexibility with management and mainly I guess the property management from afar, right? Knowing that there are limitations.
It's more hands off for sure. Yeah.
And also I think we understand there are limitations for us being in country because of the visa status. We heard that there might be a way to work around it with our heritage, but that's probably
there is a descendant of Japanese ancestry. I don't remember the exact wording, but there is a visa for that. But I think that's more meant for people who actually want to move here, I'm assuming. Was that something that you had in mind, or were you still just visiting a few times a year kind of thing?
I think we'd start there, but potentially we were open to it. We don't have children. Both of our parents are, my dad is the only one still living, and he's not, he's also not doing in great health, and so there's nothing really tying us here. I think it was more just giving us the flexibility that if we wanted to stay longer than the 6 months, the 180 days, that might be possible, or 3 months,
Okay, so
6 months.
to put that aside, if you want to just remind me via email later, I'll put you in touch with an immigration lawyer who can help with that if that's an interest. Just a few comments on what you've said so far. So first off, within Tokyo's 23 wards is not an option at your budget, I would assume, but other places like Yokohama, the far western suburbs of Tokyo, like Hachioji, Saitama City, those are all places that are within 30 to 60 minutes from central Tokyo, or Chiba City. I think your budget would be able to buy you something there. So that's just something, because you don't have direct flights from Hawaii to Fukuoka, do you?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
so that's
just
right.
something to think about. If you're
Right.
not officially within Tokyo's 23 wards, there are a few more options.
Okay.
That's doable. I mean, Fukuoka. But we'll go over your locations in a minute, but parts of Fukuoka are very similar to suburban Tokyo price-wise. It has been doing well in the last decade plus.
Okay, that's
So
great.
just something to consider. Around Kyoto, Nara might be within your budget, I think. And Nara is what, 30 minutes to Kyoto and Osaka, or 40 minutes?
Right. Actually, I think I would prefer that. I don't know. Tokyo is like, it's great, but it's also, I don't want to be in the hustle and bustle of it.
It's
So,
a bit much, yeah. I love
yeah.
Tokyo, but I love going there and then coming back. It's not
Exactly.
somewhere I'd like to live, yeah.
Yeah.
But Nara is lovely. We've got quite a few customers who've purchased there, actually. I'm a big
Okay.
fan of Fukuoka myself. I've lived here for 14 years now, best city I've ever lived in. But you've mentioned a few other locations. Let me just bring your email up. You've mentioned a few other locations. I think Kitakyushu, give me a second.
Right. Kitakyushu, and that
So,
was mainly starting in Fukuoka and see, and not again knowing, but then looking at more. What can our money buy? And, sort of just doing research of retirement, best places for retirement kind of thing.
So
And
I'll go through your list one by one. The Zaifu, have you visited all these places, by the way, or is this just
no, I
map?
mean,
Okay.
like the Zaifu, yes. Itoshima, no. Kitakyushu, we passed through it.
Okay. So the Zaifu is lovely, but sleepy kind of temple tourist town. Yeah. So you're close to Fukuoka, but the Zaifu itself, when you come out of the house, there's not that much to do except that souvenir street leading to the temple complex.
Good to know. That's exactly the kind of insight we're looking for.
Yeah, Kitakyushu is interesting, but it's very blue collar industrial, kind of rough around the edges. So
Okay.
there are parts of it that are more lively city centrish, but it's nowhere near Fukuoka.
Okay.
The suburbs of Fukuoka, well, it depends on which suburbs you're thinking about. We've got one kind of alternative city center around Nishijin, which is 3 or 4 stations from Tenjin Hakata.
Okay.
That's a very lively area. If you head towards the southeast a little bit along the train line, then Takamiya, the area around Takamiya Station, is a lovely area. Beyond that, once you get past Hakata Station to the east, and past Nishijin Fujisaki to the west, and past Takamiya to the south, it becomes more suburban. So I don't know how close to city center do you want to be. I mean, Fukuoka is not Tokyo. The city center is not that oppressive. So how
Right.
far from it do you want to be?
Truthfully, I don't know that. I think it's just more like you were saying, we don't want a sleepy town where there's nothing else to do once everything, that everything rolls up at 7 p.m. or whatever.
I would definitely rule out Dazaifu and Itoshima City. Itoshima City is amazing for lifestyle. It's by the beach, by the mountains, great galleries and cafes, but it is sleepy after 7 p.m. Yeah.
Okay.
Mojiku, you wrote Mojiku. I'm assuming you mean Moji in Kitakyushu. Is that what you're referring to?
It
Mojiko?
was sort of
Mojiko, maybe.
logical. Yeah,
Okay,
the
so
point.
that's a sleepy part of Kitakyushu. Again, it's a lovely place. I've got a good friend who lives there with a family of, I think he's got five children, huh? So it's
Wow.
yeah, he's definitely keeping the definitely battling the population trend, but it's suburban. It's a
Right.
family kind of residential area. It's nowhere near, I mean, stuff not as sleepy as some other places, but it's suburban. So
Okay.
of the places you're describing, central Kitakyushu and suburban Fukuoka to a point are probably ticking those boxes, I'd say.
Okay. And that was Nishi Ku
Nishijin.
Jin.
Nishiku is the entire western ward. That's a huge area that covers a lot of places. Nishijin is one of the subway stations.
Okay.
It's within Sawaraku, actually, not Nishiku,
Oh,
but that's a very
okay.
lively area in the evening as well. One station to the west of it, which is called Fujisaki.
Okay.
Very, very walkable from Nishijin. It's about 7 minutes walk from there. You go one station beyond Muromi Station, it starts getting a little bit sleepier. And when
Okay.
you're heading out of Hakata Station, sorry, out of Tenjin Station to the south, that's the train line, not the subway line. You've got Yakuin, and then I forget the name. The next station, and then Takamiya. Those are still quite lively areas. One station beyond is Ohashi Station. It's getting there. There's a bit of urban rejuvenation starting there, and it's within walking distance to Takamiya Station. So worth checking out because prices would be lower there.
Which one was that again? Sorry.
Takamiya Station is
And then that.
the last bustling area, and then one down from there is Ohashi.
Ohashi. Okay.
Ohashi. So
Ohashi.
between those two stations, I would definitely check out.
Gotcha. Okay.
On the other subway line that's going west, I would look at all the way up to Befu Station, BEFU.
Wow. Okay.
That's still a very fun, lively area. Roppon Matsu is similar to Takamiya and Ohashi. Roppon Matsu Station is the last place that's really gone through urban rejuvenation, and that's very lively in the evenings. One beyond is Befu, which is a again 5 7 minutes walk. That's starting to happen. So more places opening, and property prices there will be a bit cheaper.
Okay, but it's up and coming.
Roppon
Is that what
Matsu
you're
is
asking?
has already happened. The next one is Befu. Yeah, that's what we believe will be up and coming. There's no crystal ball, but we hope so.
Okay.
And then going northeast of Hakata, I'd go as far as Gofukumachi Station. And beyond that is getting a bit sleepy again. East of Hakata is, I mean, it's still considered technically Hakata, but it's again getting a bit blue collar industrial. There are bars and places open in the evening, but it's more blue collar kind of area, not really funky.
Okay, this is great.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in WebDiz Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. it's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
Hearing you talk, I think, yeah, we probably want to be a little bit closer into the city. So this is great to understand sort of where the...
But to get 70 square meters for 20 million yen, was that 20 million yen or 200,000 US? Sorry, I don't remember the email.
20 million yen.
20 yeah. million yen. So to get 70 square meters and 20 million yen, you'll really need to look at those last stations that I've mentioned, the edges of it. Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe compromise a little bit on the size, I'd say.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, you could get these kinds of places in older buildings, but then we should probably start talking about condos now. So when you're purchasing a condo, it's a reinforced concrete building, so it's obviously well built. But once they get beyond 30, 35 years of age, maintenance and renovation expenses start escalating.
Sure.
Which is right. When your building fees will start rising more rapidly. So if you buy something and you're paying, I don't know, say 15,000 or 20,000 yen a month in condo fees, there's a good chance of that doubling within the 10 years after you purchase, if you buy it over 30 or definitely over 35.
Okay.
So to stay within your budget and still satisfy that age requirement, so that we're making sure your building fees are not going out of control too soon, you might have to compromise and stay close enough to center where you're feeling comfortable, then you might have to compromise on the size a little bit.
Okay.
But we could get lucky. We'll see how we go.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, again, that was one of my questions, was how often do the HOAs really get increased? Is it every year or is it more like...
Well, that's a big part of the due diligence. I mean, that is the main part of the due diligence that we conduct on condos, is to review the building's renovation history, review how much they've got in reserve funds, see when we think the next big renovation is coming up and whether they've got enough money to pay for it. If not, then they'll obviously have to raise the fees. So it's a case-by-case situation. Some mm-hmm. buildings are better managed, some are not. Some have kept the building fees as low as possible to keep it attractive for owners. And now as the building gets older, they're suddenly going to triple it because they just can't help it anymore. So it doesn't necessarily mean bad management, but they've kept it as low as possible for as long as they could, and that's coming to an end as the building ages. So
I see.
It's not something I can give you like benchmarks in advance. It's something we have to look at case by case.
Mm. I see. Mm. Okay.
But there are no special, or very rare that there are special assessments and you're suddenly hit with a few thousand bucks per owner. Or that doesn't happen much in Japan. They'll usually try to plan ahead for that.
Okay.
But yeah, you also mentioned there, so a bit of a contradiction there, because you mentioned that you prefer a smaller building.
I know. Well,
smaller buildings are often self-managed, meaning the owner union doesn't really have a building management company in place. They just try to do it themselves.
Right.
And if they're not seasoned investors, then they often don't do a very good job just because they don't know what they're doing that well. So the smaller the building is, and definitely if it's self-managed, slightly more likely that it's going to be facing a case of building fee hikes a bit more rapidly.
Right. I think we only sort of threw that in because I think one of the places that was suggested to us in Hokkaido was Aino Sato, and it was like, you know, kind of like a three huge building, like
Oh,
dorm building.
monster building. Yeah, I know those.
Yeah. And so that was
We don't
more the
have too many of those around Fukuoka, and not that many around. The other location I was thinking of for you maybe is semi-central Yokohama. So there's not that much of that in those areas. That's something you find in the very heart of bigger cities, I think. Where was it in Hokkaido again?
was called Aino Sato. It's
Aino
by the
Sato.
university town up there.
I'll bring that up on the map. I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, it seemed pretty suburban as well, but
There was a the turn off the building, the
yeah.
exterior. Yeah, okay, as long as it makes sense.
I don't think I'm finding that. Maybe I'm sp oh, got it. Kita Ward. Yeah, Kitaku Sapporo. Okay. Okay, that's pretty far from center, I guess. Okay, so then maybe there are all right next to the university. I see that. Okay, right, got it. Well, we have those in Fukuoka and Yokohama, but a lot closer to center than you'll be able to afford. So that's probably not going to be something you'll run the risk of looking at, I think. Not much, anyway.
So I guess number one, it sounds like our budget is okay for like all in with, taxes and
Well, purchase costs can be worst case around 15%. So is that 20 million supposed to be including purchase costs?
yeah.
So that gives us, give me a second. That gives us a budget of about 17.434 million at today's rates.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. If that's, I
Potentially
mean,
yes, potentially possible, but again, you might have to compromise a little bit about, being one station down from where you want to be, or the property being a little bit smaller or whatnot. I wouldn't
okay.
compromise on the age of the building though, because that's where you'll be hit in the pocket every month.
So how, what's the oldest that you would look at? I mean, I know 1991, right, is sort of where.
1981 is the latest earthquake resistance standards, but that's already over 40 years. I'd go younger than that. I'd go 30 years and younger if I can make it, 35 at most, if not.
Okay. That's what I was kind of aiming for as well. Okay. I mean, I think, the 20 with 15% over could be potentially
So
doable.
that
The
could
main, well,
be up to 23, worst case, yeah.
okay, so 17 to 23. It's mainly just
Hopefully
because
less
that's.
than that. We're assuming worst case because we don't know. The official evaluation of the building is always a bit different to market price, and the purchase tax and the legal and registration fees are based on the official evaluation. So we're not actually going to know the exact purchase cost until we get closer to settlement, when we see the actual official evaluation and quotes from the lawyer. But normally, worst case, 15%.
Gotcha. Okay.
And some of it is paid, like the purchase tax, which is about worst case 2.5% of that. That's a statement that you get and need to pay somewhere between 6 to 12 months after the purchase. So a little
Okay.
bit is kind of stretched out.
Gotcha. 2% after purchase.
Up to 2.5, usually around 2%, but up to 1.5 to 2.5 is usually what it ends up being.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, basically, we're trying to do it cash in hand, right? So, as opposed to, because there's no financing or anything available, right?
Not from Japanese lenders. You might have something available at home. But the interest rates are not nearly as attractive back home, is it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
If you're
Okay.
going for Tokyo or very close to Tokyo, there is one lender that I can introduce you to who let you borrow at around 4%.
Okay.
They, I
So that.
think they would probably consider Yokohama for sure.
Okay. I mean, again, I don't, we're hoping that we can cover it mostly. And I mean, there's some buffer there. It would just, we just didn't want to exhaust everything
Yeah, of course.
for this.
And look, we could get lucky. We could just find something that, I mean, economy's not been doing super well, so I haven't noticed huge hikes in property prices. There might be something still available at this budget, I think.
Okay.
Are you
You've
ruling out one?
looked at some listings yourself. Do you want to review them together? Maybe you found something that's already
Sure. I mean, it was again, as I stated, this was just me like looking at what's out there for the price that we are, that we're,
Yeah, well,
within.
let's look over them. It'll give you an
Okay.
idea of what kind of feedback or due diligence we might have as well. What am I sharing? I'm sharing. So I'll open your Mac. Are you seeing my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, let's focus on Fukuoka City for a moment. Oh, you've only got
Yeah.
one there, do you?
Because it was there wasn't much
Okay.
there.
Oh, well,
So it
everything
was
you've got
really,
there is out of the city, right?
yeah, well, or
On
like
this
so
one.
there are those gray hearts that, yeah, it was.
Tatsuga, yeah, that's out of Fukuoka City as well.
Oh, see. Okay. So I was having a hard time finding anything that seemed viable in Fukuoka itself,
Okay.
at the range
Well,
that I was
that's where
looking
I'd
at.
probably bring a realtor in to search for us.
Okay.
I mean, we get paid for work that we do as we do it, and they get paid on settlement, so it's probably not a bad idea to use them to do the research.
Gotcha.
But hopefully it'll find something. Just bear in mind that realtors, I'm very happy to introduce you to one, like Hannah wrote in the email, but realtors tend to be, they're very professional in Japan. They're definitely by the book, but they tend to be not super strategic, meaning that like the
Right.
kind of conversation that we had about watch out for the age of the building, what you want to look at for due diligence, they're not going to do that much of that. So their job is to
Gotcha.
help you find listings and then make sure that the purchase goes through legally and smoothly on your behalf. And the one I'll introduce you to will be bilingual. They will be handled the purchase in English remotely on your behalf, same as we would have done, but don't expect them to be strategic. It's not their job.
Right.
So if you'd like, we can join in as a consultant for a small fee, just under 1,000. Oh, actually, today's rate's more like $700. And then we'll
Right.
hold your hand, guide the agent on what due diligence we want done, review documents before you sign them, make sure there are no any surprises in there, that kind of thing. So we're always available to do that if you need us to, but don't feel obliged. We're also happy to just introduce you.
No, I think we would like help through this process as opposed to just going on our own. Especially because, again, we've visited Japan a lot. We love it, but we just don't have the local knowledge.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So, really, the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which, if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So, if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
And have you been to Fukuoka City itself, by the way?
Yes.
You have been. Yeah. Okay, so you know what the city is like. It's a very comfortable place.
Yeah, and I guess the reason why it seemed Fukuoka versus Hokkaido was sort of just nature, and you know, some things were not necessarily like we haven't been to Hokkaido during the summer or spring time, and that's what we were thinking would be nice. But actually Dixon is also was really interested in Yokohama, but I just again kind of didn't think that we could really find something there.
I think if you're interested in checking out both, then I'll probably appoint a Tokyo-based agent, because the ones that we work with in Tokyo will be able to handle the purchase nationwide.
Okay.
And anything that's hands-on, if you end up purchasing in Fukuoka, anything that's related to hands-on work, then you can rent us by the hour to do any remote viewings or go and sign the contract on your behalf or anything like that. You won't have to send somebody in from Tokyo to do it.
I see. Okay, great.
But that's only if you want to check other locations. If you want to focus only on Fukuoka, then I'll introduce you to a Fukuoka agent.
I think maybe Yokohama would be good because of the
close proximity.
Proximity to the airport.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I'm thinking about. Like, you don't need to sell me on Fukuoka. It's the best city in Japan, in my opinion, but it is going to be a bit of a schlep to get here every time you fly in, right?
Right.
I mean, if you fly into Osaka, it's only another 1 hour on a budget airline, if you really want to.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way that we had gone down as well, was we came into Narita and then just took a hopper plane down.
But doesn't hurt. So we can recruit an agent who will look at both cities for you. That'll be an agent based in Tokyo.
Okay.
And honestly, that's where the best agents that we work with are most of the time as well. And if it ends up being Fukuoka, then yeah, then we'll do the legwork for you here.
Okay, great. So I do think we are interested in, yeah, I guess, so once the process start, or how do we actually kick off things, and do I just turn it over to the agent, or do I still keep researching on my own, or...
First of all, it's a lifestyle choice in your case, so you're always going to be the best filter. Because you can look at a property and quickly know if it ticks your box. Oh, by the way, you mentioned their tatami room. I wouldn't. It's very cheap to install tatamis in any bedroom, so it's less than $1,000 to deck out a bedroom with tatami. So I wouldn't focus on that as criteria if it's not there.
Okay.
So
perfect.
We'll give the agent your criteria. They'll definitely happily research for you. But again, you're going to be the best filter. So how are you looking for properties at the moment? Which websites are you on?
I was just looking, so I did go through Sumo and At Home first, but then I found Friends, that F Takin.
Yep. And that's Fukuoka specifically,
yeah?
Or Kyushu specifically.
Kyushu specifically. Yep. So I was going through that, and I had found Hatomaku for Hokkaido as well. So I was looking through those first, because it just seemed like the listing was easier to read for me from those versus Sumo and At Home. But
if you want like something that's more Zillow-like in English and with dynamic map interface like you used to in the States, I'd probably go for Akia Mart, if you know them.
So I tried them, but I feel like you need to know the area in order to use it. Versus I didn't, you know, I could just plug in search all and it would go. Maybe I just don't understand the interface.
Well, I'm not sure. What was that on the free version? Because that only goes up to 20,000 US, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's it then.
If you want to give them a shot, just use my name as a promo code on checkout. It'll give you a discount on the pro subscription.
Oh.
Just my name, ZIV.
ZIV. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Well, they advertise on our podcast, so we have a promo code that we can give customers.
Gotcha. Okay.
But that's just an easy way to search in English. I'm not sure how many condos they've got. I mean, they scrape all of the major property websites, so they definitely should have some condos there.
Okay.
But that's the easiest way I know to search in English anyway. And otherwise, yeah, the agent will search for you as well, but it's going to be a lot more hit and miss because they don't live in your head kind of thing, right?
I actually, it wasn't with Google Translate, it's not that hard to look at
No,
things,
just the
but
interface is clunky and annoying. I don't like those websites.
I think I'm used to it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll check out IKEA Mart again. What
So
else?
the next steps would be I'll put you in touch. So I'll send just a blank email reply to your last email with my signature. So you'll have my mobile number there. If you could add me on WhatsApp, that's usually where I'm most responsive, and that's where the agents that we work with will be most responsive as well. So I'll kick off a WhatsApp chat group with I'll see which agent is most readily available, and then I'll kick off a WhatsApp chat group with them. Just let me know before then if you want me to just introduce you and jump out, or if you want me to stay on and consult. And then we'll give them your list of criteria. We'll get them to focus on Yokohama and Fukuoka. And once the process is pretty similar to what you used to oversee. So if it's a vacant property we're purchasing, most of the listing agents will not accept an offer before somebody views the property. So the first step would be to send somebody, unless you happen to be here, but otherwise we'll send somebody over on your behalf to do a remote viewings of the listings you're interested in. They'll connect to you via Zoom like we are now, and they'll show you around the property. You can tell them to focus more on this or more on that. Let's just get them, we will need to pay whoever goes for the trip. So let's just make sure that we line up at least four or five listings, so we're not wasting your time and money on like, going out one day for one listing, another day for another listing. So we'll do maybe one day viewing of the listings we find in Yokohama, another day viewing of the listings we found in Fukuoka.
I see.
And then you would be submitting an offer. On the offer, we'll make sure that it's pending building investigation report, which will give us that renovation history, how much they got in reserve funds, if they got any renovation plans, just to give us an idea of how the funds are being managed in the building. And then if there are no red flags in there, then we'll proceed to sign a contract, at which point you'll pay a 10% deposit. So the offer is not legally binding. We do need to note any conditions on it, because if we just pull out without any advance warning, that agent will not work with any gaijins again, because they label us as tire kickers and Japanese people just don't do that. So on the offer, we'll note the conditions that we have. Then it's not legally binding. We can pull back if we don't like any of the information we get. If we do proceed, we sign the contract, pay the 10% deposit, and about a month after that is settlement, and then you'll pay the rest. And then for management, you said you're going to be here up to 6 months a year. Is that the plan?
Well, that's what we understand is the limit, right? On a
Oh, on the
regular
tourist visa. Yeah, that's right.
visa, right?
Yeah.
So
Is that going to be in one stretch, or is it going to be a visit every 2 months? Or...
yeah, it's probably more that periodic
Okay.
here and there, as
If
opposed to a long trip.
you can be there every 2, 3 months, maybe every 2 months if possible, then you probably don't need any physical management like airing and cleaning. But otherwise, mold and humidity are a big issue here. So you want somebody coming in. If the place is closed for longer than 2 months at a time, the mold will start accumulating, especially in the summer. So if you just, depending on your frequency of visits, if you just need your bills paid and insurance and so forth, then there's a good cheap company called MailMate that will do that for you. If you need more physical work, that's probably when people like us come in. So if you need somebody to come in and do the airing and the cleaning, if you'll need somebody to handle repairs, renovations, furniture deliveries, assemblies, anything like that, then we can do that for you as well. We can also pay your bills, but we're more of a concierge type service. We're a bit pricier, so depending on whether you need it or not.
Now, if you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Akiya Mart. That's Akiya akiya-mart, M-A-R-T, akiyamart.com. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local Japanese websites. Now, we've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the AkiyaMart Pro annual plan. That's the one that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide at any given time. So if you're serious about buying in Japan and you want an easier way to search, this is the best tool that we know of. So you can use my code ZIV, Z-I-V, at checkout and get 30% off your AkiyaMart Pro annual plan at akiyamart.com.
Well, once we, let's just say everything works out and we get the house and everything, I also understand, I haven't done a lot of research into it, but like we can't open a bank account there in Japan, right?
Yeah.
So we would just do everything from afar, or do we need to have a proxy there?
So for the purchase itself, the agent will be able to receive funds from you and distribute them domestically to where they need to go. Because again, I'll put you in touch with a foreigner friendly bilingual, like somebody who's worked with foreigners before. So they'll be able to handle all of the purchase expenses. You just give them one bulk sum and they'll distribute it to the seller, the lawyer, the agent, the listing agent, wherever it needs to go.
Right.
For management, you will need somebody like MailMate or ourselves to hold a retainer for you and pay your ongoing expenses from that.
I see. Okay.
So that's included in any management service you'll sign up for normally. You do want to make sure, are you with Wise, OFX, any of those foreign exchange providers?
I just signed up with Wise, but I was curious, I was going to ask you about the OFX and...
So OFX are, Wise are great up to about 2, maybe 3 million yen.
Okay.
They're limited in Japan. They're limited to 1 million yen remittances. So 2-3 million yen, for example, becomes 2 or 3 remittances, which is not a big deal. But beyond that, multiple remittances can eat into the funds a fair bit. So beyond that, I would probably sign up with OFX. If you remind me on WhatsApp, once we're connected there, I'll send you a referral link so we'll both get some bonuses when you sign up.
Okay, great.
They don't let you hold a balance like Wise do. They're just point to point. So you nominate the agent. When you do the settlement, for example, which is going to be about 20 million yen, then you nominate the agent's bank account and they transfer the full amount that you transfer to them in US dollars. They pay out Japanese yen at the other end.
Okay.
So for the purchase itself, I'd use OFX. For the smaller remittances along the way and for management, I'd use Wise.
Okay, perfect.
Great. Definitely don't let your bank exchange your dollars into yens because they'll rip you off.
Okay.
Unless it's a Charles Schwab. I heard they have really good rates, actually.
Okay. No, not. We don't have Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
And Citibank in Japan is not connected to Citibank here, right?
Citibank in Japan, I think, closed up or sold and changed their branding to somebody. Or maybe there was somebody else that Citibank bought. I'm not sure which way it went. But I heard from a realtor that I'm in touch with in Hawaii that, I forgot the name. Let me just bring up her message. I'll tell you the name. There's one bank specifically in Hawaii that did allow people to open a bank account. Hang on. There she is.
First Hawaiian or Bank of Hawaii?
I have no memory aside from electronic memory. There's no way I'm going to remember it. Bristol, I remember her name at least. The bank is Central Pacific Bank.
Yeah, okay.
They have a relationship with Tokyo Star Bank.
Oh.
But they'll require you to hold about $750,000 worth of assets with the bank to allow you to open another account in Japan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. They're not easy.
Okay.
This is all off what she says. I haven't had any client who actually tested it, so I don't know.
Okay. So your EOS
What?
to
Sorry?
your what was it called? EOS, right? The document that she sent.
Oh, the explanation of services document.
Yeah, thank you.
That EOS, yeah. Sorry, just the stupid acronyms. That's what we do for people who want us to do everything on their behalf. That's an added layer of service beyond any realtor fees. So you're kind of paying a double realtor commission. We charge similar to them. And then instead of you having to talk to agents and lawyers, we do everything. You give us legal authority to act in Japan on your behalf, and then we do everything for you, and you just sign the bottom line kind of thing and just need to talk to us.
Okay.
It's a more expensive, but I mean, your budget is pretty
Okay.
limited as is with the kind of property you're looking for. I don't think you need that level of service, to be honest.
Okay. Okay.
And working with us as consultants will give you the advantage of, our expertise, but you'll be just a bit more hands-on. You'll need to talk to the agent yourself, get some documents their way, that kind of thing.
Okay. But not, but like you said, well, now that we're connected with you on WhatsApp and whatnot, we could. What is your hourly rate then? Or if we
So
don't
for a
have a
single
WhatsApp?
purchase, rather for a single purchase, rather than calculate every 5 minute conversation, which takes me 5 minutes to document, I know that it takes me somewhere between 8 to 12 hours to handhold a single purchase. So I just charge a 10-hour retainer.
Okay.
Depending on when you pull the trigger, it's at the moment it's 88,000 yen, going up to 110,000 yen in April.
88,000.
Thousand yen, that's about 600 or 550, I think. Oh
Okay.
no, the dollar took a dive recently. I'm not sure how much that is. It's definitely under the $800 mark. I think it's more like 650, and
Right.
that'll go up to 110, which will make it about 800.
Okay. So if we were just to do that now, we
If
could
you want to
do
do that
that.
before April, then it's valid for a year. Then we can just
Okay.
use that whenever you're ready.
Okay. I think more than likely we'll be in touch for that.
Not a problem. But again, don't feel obliged. I'm very happy to just introduce you and jump up. If you were buying, for example, a brand new property, I'd say you don't really need us because there's not going to be any issues that you need to look into. But because you're buying secondhand, it's probably a good idea to have somebody looking over your shoulder.
And so just one more, like for Yokohama. You would send somebody from Fukuoka, or you have people who are more central to
No,
Tokyo?
so if you're looking at If you're looking at any one major city, then I'll hook you up with an agent in that city, Sapporo,
Right.
Fukuoka, Osaka, Tokyo. But if you're looking at more than one city, then the Tokyo agents that we work with are a bit more flexible, and they'll handle a purchase anywhere in the country. So it's going to be a Tokyo agent. Yokohama, they'll probably go themselves. If when we're looking at Fukuoka, then they'll probably ask us to go on their behalf.
I see. So it's more like when you said someone would go out to check out the property, it would be the agent
It would be
doing
the
that.
agent or somebody, some colleague of the agent's,
I
and in
see. Okay.
Fukuoka, we'd probably be that colleague.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Okay, and then how long does this process typically take? Like, how quickly do people find things or need to act on things once?
It depends on A, how picky you are, and B, how stringent your budget is, right?
Okay.
In your case, we're kind of borderline, so I'm assuming it'll take us a couple of months to find the right place and then another 2 months to settlement. So hopefully within 6 months we'll be done.
Okay. That's kind of what
I'm
we
hoping
were.
for less than that, but yeah, worst case, I'd say within 6 months. Unless, look, if we see that there's absolutely nothing available at your budget, then we'll need to have a conversation about what we can compromise on. I'm
Yeah.
assuming the easiest thing to compromise on would be size in your case. So if it's 50 instead of 70 square meters, it
Okay.
probably will be easier. But I mean, let's start with the top criteria and see how we go.
Okay. I mean, 50 is pretty small though, right?
Depends on who you're asking. Most of our Japanese couple tenants are living in under 30, so I don't
Oh,
know.
really?
Yeah, I mean,
Wow.
and a single person would live in something that's under 20 square meters in most cases. But
Okay.
obviously Westerners are used to much wider standards. So I totally get it. But is it just, you said no kids, but are there people coming to stay with you once in a while or anything like that?
That's basically, yeah, what we were planning for, but
I'd say if the apartment is well divided, and the Japanese are really good at turning compact spaces into more comfortable spaces, I don't know, maybe something with a bigger balcony, even though the unit could be small. I don't know. So see what we see and see how you feel about it.
Yeah, again, that was just more going off of, our understanding of square footage. And I think 70 came in at about 800 square feet, right? So yeah, no, I think that's totally, I mean, we could take that off as a criteria.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're not super rushed on time, then let's start with your ideal property and work our way down from there if we have to.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Sounds great. I mean, I
It's
am.
not gonna hurt to do some searches and then figure out that we need to compromise then.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. This has been very, very helpful. Really, really appreciate you taking
My
the
pleasure. I'll wait for your message on WhatsApp, and then we'll kick it off from there.
Okay,
Sounds good.
great. Thank you so much. Really nice to meet you.
Same here. Pleasure.
And looking forward to working or speaking again soon, hopefully.
We'll get there. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, a nice drill down, and in my opinion, also a good exercise in narrowing goals and focus to help make your search process more efficient and less time-consuming. Hope you found some value in it. Now, we can't let you go without telling you all about Yen Loans, our latest sponsor. They're a new non-bank lender offering financing to non-residents of Japan for purchases of Tokyo condominiums, soon to be expanding to other major cities as well. So definitely hit them up if you're looking to purchase in Osaka, Fukuoka, Kyoto, or any other big city too. And that's for any purpose, whether it's a holiday home, investment rental, or a combination of both, without any requirement for residency, a Japanese bank account, a Japanese corporate structure, or representative director, any of these things, and with a streamlined application process too. So reach out to them through the link in our show notes and let them know that you found them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast. And if you're quick enough to be one of the first 10 completed applications, you'll receive a 25% discount. That's 50,000 yen off the 200,000 yen application fee. To qualify, apply through the link in our show notes again, or enter the code JREYL on their website, yenloans.com. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening, and we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.